This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Gerrit Cole's not healthy right now. We have no idea when he's going to come back.
I mean, there's a lot of people I hear. Once Gerrit Cole went down, it's like, Yankees are done. No playoffs.
I don't have the Yankees making the playoffs this year.
So, yeah, you're going to have your hands full. But I got to imagine, if they stay healthy, if Aaron Judge can stay healthy, their offense is going to be so much better than it was last season.
It's going to have to be.
The expectation has never been different. There's an edge and a focus and a commitment that is where I think it needs to be.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Hour number two on this Thursday. It's opening day 2024. DNR, Dan and Rick, Dave back manana. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. So Calvin, our previous caller, was bringing up Juan Soto. And everybody knows Juan Soto is a fantastic player, okay? He is the modern-day sabermetric darling more than anything else. With his approach at the plate, on-base percentage, getting on-base, that's what everybody loves, right? But here's my thing, and I've brought this up before this offseason. Not to say that he's not going to have a good year, because look, he's going to be motivated because he wants to get the bank. He's a free agent at the end of the year. But I don't think that type of style, the on-base, the walks exclusively, if that's going to be primarily what Juan Soto brings to the table for the Yankees, I think the fans are ultimately going to be annoyed, right? I just think they are. Because I'll give it to you like this, Rick. Last year, if you look at Juan Soto, well, actually 2 years ago, right? Because now we're in 24. His 2022 season, he only batted 242. Only 242. Now, he walked 135 times, led baseball in walks, which is great. But he only drove in 62 runs. Will a Yankee fan, knowing this guy, there's a good chance he could be a one-and-done as a Yankee. You know that he's going to be one of the highest-paid, if not the highest-paid players in baseball. And a lot of the Yankee fans, maybe they've never seen Juan Soto play before. Maybe they're not watching Padre baseball or Washington National baseball, okay? But if they get a guy this year who they look up at the scoreboard at Yankee Stadium and they see he's only batting 240, and in September, he's only driven in 60 runs, and this Yankee team isn't necessarily winning as many games as they thought. Guess what? They're going to hear it from Juan Soto, just like they gave it to Giancarlo Stanton when he drove in, what, 30 and 100 his first year as a Yankee, but that still wasn't good enough because he didn't hit in October. Soto's going to have to produce in terms of power numbers for the Yankee fan to be satisfied. I truly believe that.
Well, which he did last season. Right, I mean, at 34
but you're only guaranteed to get him 1 year. That's my point.
No, I get it, and he got off to a slow start, but I mean, he found a way last season because you're right with all the numbers, sabermetrics, and everything else on base percentage. The analytics people love Juan Soto, right? I think he adds some of. I mean, you heard the sound from Boone adds some of that edge, that swag that this team has been looking for, right? That's one of the reasons why you brought Josh Donaldson in, right, for the edge. Aaron Hicks was saying we need more FU. I think Juan Soto provides that, but Juan Soto also provides that with the actual results to come with it. I mean, he's got a benefit from being, you know, hitting in front of Aaron Judge in Yankee Stadium with that short right field, right? Like, I mean, power-wise, he should benefit from that. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think you're right, especially here. There's, like, as much as Yankees fans want to believe, hey, you know, it's the pinstripes, the allure of the Yankees, and all these other things. Like, Juan Soto, if he doesn't produce and Yankees fans are booing him, yeah, like, I mean, that's what happens here. I mean, they booed Aaron Judge. They booed Derek Jeter. If he doesn't produce at a level that they expect him with the expectations this team has now and they're not winning, he's going to hear it. That's what happens when you're a Yankee.
You know what the comparison that I used? You remember this. I mean, you were playing back then. You remember when Carlos Beltran came to the Mets?
Yep.
Okay? His first year, Met fans were booing him. They thought he was overpaid. They thought he wasn't worth the money. They thought that he was miserable here with his body language. He wanted to be a Yankee. Why did he even sign with the Mets? The guy's going to be a bust. His first season as a Met, he batted 266 with only 16 home runs and 78 RBIs. And that was a disappointment. And he had a miserable first year here, right? Everything rolled into one. And he had to hear the questions about whether or not he's happy, whether it's ever going to work out for him here. Maybe New York isn't the place for him. But the difference was is that he was already locked up for, what, 7 years or whatever the contract was. And he came back the next season in 06, and he had an MVP caliber season. And then we saw a guy who's going to go down as one of the best everyday players, if not the best everyday player, that the Mets have ever had. Or maybe in, you know, center fielder for sure. You saw the full talent. Here's the difference. Carlos Beltran knew he wasn't going anywhere. Juan Soto only gets one crack at this. And so that's my point. If he has like a Carlos Beltran-esque 2024 season with the Yankees, it might be one and done in the pinstripes, right? Because we don't know where he's going to be playing next year. So that's why it's interesting to see how this plays out.
Well, of course it's going to be interesting regardless because of, I mean, what's going to happen. He's going to hit free agency, right? I mean, that's his plan going into the season is he's going to have a great season, hit free agency, and it feels like he's going to take the most money. It's not going to help his chances of deciding he wants to come back and be a Yankee if the team struggles. He doesn't perform, you know, up to a level that the fans feel is acceptable and they're booing him all the time. You think that's going to want to make him stay a Yankee? No. Of course not. He wants to sign up for that? Would you?
No.
No, right.
No.
I mean, and you know players around the league talk about it. I mean, there were players that were talking about how could you boo Aaron Judge in the playoffs? After the season he just had, how could you boo him?
Which, I understand, like, that's the money season, right? That's ultimately going to decide your fate, how you remember. But I just think that it's unfair. Because when you look at a guy's body of work, as a baseball player, play 162 games. Sometimes you don't even, you know, you could be a great player, you could be a Hall of Fame player, and you may never even sniff the postseason because you were on bad teams. It's not your fault, it's baseball, right? It's baseball. But I think we just get so geeked up sometimes on what they do in a small sample size of a series and that you're going to completely throw out the door every good thing that they did over a long season. You know, you're taking 1 week or you're taking 6 months?
Well, I mean, you ask any athlete, though. I mean, you make your money during the regular season. You build your legacy during the postseason. Like, once you're in New York, you prove to people that you're really good. That's great. All right. So prove to me that you're really good in the postseason because all we're concerned about is winning championships. Like, we got a couple athletes in New York that they're at that point. Julius Randle's at that point. Artemi Panarin's at that point. Aaron Judge is now at that point. Yeah, we know you're great. You're one of the best players in baseball. Prove it in the postseason. Because for the Yankees, it's all about getting back to the World Series. And they haven't been there since 2009. Right? I don't know. I don't agree with the booing just because as a former player, knowing, you know, being booed at home myself on multiple occasions, it doesn't help me play better. You feel like, you know, I guess maybe part of fans feel like they're motivating you, like, because I don't want to hear you boo me, you're motivating me to play better. Doesn't really work that way. I can tell you from personal experience, doesn't really work that way, but I also understand the frustrations. What else can you do as a fan? You're going to be there. You're not going to not show up. So for you, it's, hey, I don't like how you're playing. I'm going to boo you. Right? I mean, I guess that's why you would do it.
Let's go to some phones here. 800-919-3776. Baseball, name of the game. Artie in Brooklyn up next here on 98.7. Good morning, Art. How are you?
Hey, gentlemen. What's going on? Good morning.
Artie, word?
I didn't hear Alonso on your list.
Because he's not one of the top 10 players, Art. That's why.
I don't even know if he's top 20, but the problem is he's the Mets' best player. So if you're not giving him the money and you lose him, ask a Mets fan. Would they be happy giving $500 million to Soto and lose Alonso, or give $300 to Alonso and not have a chance at Soto? I don't want to take the chance. And I'm going to tell you, it's not that bad to have Zach as a third string quarterback. All right, love you guys.
No, they're not going to give the Mets are not going to give Pete Alonso $300 million.
No way. No. Not giving him $200 million.
I think it would depend on how much they value PP and homegrown face of the franchise kind of deal. That's why you would get to a certain number. But I mean, Dave and I have talked about this. The fact that Olsen signed for what he signed for and Freddie Freeman signed for what he signed for kills him because both of those guys are better players.
They are.
Right, so I mean that hurts him.
Freddie Freeman's an MVP. Freddie Freeman might be the most underrated player in baseball.
Dude, I'm telling you, you want to go back and look at moves that the Yankees should have made that would have made all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Signing Freeman or trading for Matt Olson, especially when you see the deal that Olson signed once he got traded to the Braves. Imagine plugging those two guys in your lineup. One of those two at first base,
of course.
Left-handed bats, come on, man.
Of course. And now, look, nobody knew that Matt Olson was going to take off like he did when he got traded to the Braves. With the power numbers like he did. He never showed. You thought that Matt Olson would be like a 40-plus home run guy with the Atlanta Braves?
Yes.
From what he showed you with the Oakland A's?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it'd be better as a Yankee, too.
Or how about a 50-plus home run guy like we saw last year? I didn't see. Nobody expected 50, that.
Maybe not 50-plus, but he's a really good defender, and he's got serious, serious pop from the left side.
Well, he's got that long swing,
and
he
plays every single game.
He plays every game, which is great.
Every game.
But that's the Atlanta Braves. Some of the, you know, like, teams, moves they make, it seems like everything turns to gold. The Braves are one of those teams. Let's just face it, they are.
They're well-run, man. I mean, they're a well-run franchise. I was listening to their manager talked the other day, and they were asking him, in sports in general with load management and everything else, guys, you know, trying to keep guys rested because you're trying to win a championship. He's like, no, I think part of the reason why we stay healthy is because our guys play every day. They go out and play every day. You know what? And he might not be wrong. In reality, if you know you're going to play every day, it probably limits how much you're doing off the field, right? Like, you know, I mean, a lot of these guys. Remember when David Wright went through this? When he got hurt and he hurt his back, and he said the biggest thing for him was trying to find that sweet spot because he was a guy that would take 1,000 swings, 1,000 ground balls, and it was just that it's too much, man. Every single day doing that's too much. So he tried to find this, that sweet spot where he was getting what he needed, but he wasn't killing himself. I swear, man, a lot of these guys, like as soon as the season's over, you hear about guys 2 weeks after the season back in the cages swinging bats. It's too much. Your body, especially at the size these guys are, it's just too much on your body. So maybe if you're playing every day, which I mean. If you're taking reps just in the game, how many reps are you actually taking? How many swings are you actually taking? And you limit all that extra stuff you're doing off the field, it probably would keep you healthier if you think about it.
Artie brought up Pete Alonso, and RJ makes a real good point. Our good friend RJ. Let's say the Mets scuffle this year, knowing that Alonso's going into his free agency at the end of the season. And at the deadline, let's say the Mets are out of it. Or not even out of it. It could go either way.
You got to trade him.
That's what I'm saying.
I asked you earlier in the show. I love how RJ gets the credit for it. That's why I asked you. Is it a good thing if they're just in the mix?
When did you ask me earlier? But you didn't bring up Alonso necessarily.
I did bring up Alonso.
Did you bring up Alonso? Did he bring up Alonso?
Does no one listen to me on the show?
No, apparently not.
Unbelievable.
Did he bring up Alonso, RJ? Do you recall that? I know you're busy, but Ray?
I think I framed it very well, and I think I deserve the credit.
There, you see that?
No, I did bring it up. You become more and more like Dave every day you sit in that stupid seat.
That's not true. That is not true, because I would have given you credit, and I wouldn't have referenced RJ if you had brought it up earlier in the show.
Look at his face. He's offended.
No, he is mortified right now.
You went on your diatribe of talking about, you know, keep us, you know, just be in the mix by the deadline, and we'll have the ownership. We'll go in and go. And I was like, well, is that a good thing if you don't end up getting the wild card with Pete Alonso being a free agent and you lose him for nothing if you don't sign him?
I think you did the right thing, Dan.
No, I did the right thing, because you lose him for nothing. That's already an off-season conversation, not a deadline conversation. That's why I didn't reference it.
Well, no, if you decide you want to go all in and you don't trade him, and then you lose him in the offseason for nothing, and you said, well, if you get Soto or Alonso, you can't have both. I was like, well, okay, that's fine, but then you have Soto and you got nothing for Alonso.
The Met fan is very attached to Pete Alonso. Like, I've come to realize that here over the last, you know, now that we talk about his mortality as a Met and his future with this team. But if you want to look at this thing objectively, and if you gave a Met fan any choice, would you rather re-sign Pete Alonso for a ridiculous contract, which is what he's going to want, or have the chance to get Juan Soto and probably one of these marquee free agent pitchers that is going to be out there next offseason? I don't know how you don't choose Soto in the pitcher.
Well, no, I'm definitely choosing a pitcher or two, but I mean, I don't know why.
Or how about this? Even if it's one-on-one, Soto or Alonso, and Soto's even going to cost you more money, which we know it has to be Juan Soto. He's a better player and he's younger.
Well, he's younger, but I mean, can we see how Juan Soto performs in New York first? Right? I mean, can we see that? Because we know Pete can. Right? Pete plays every day. Came back too early from injury, and that's probably why his batting average sucked last year. But I mean, he's one of the most prolific power hitters in the sport. He's getting better defensively. Let's not pretend like Juan Soto's a great defender either.
But then how much does he fall into the trap, unfortunately, of where baseball is valued nowadays and what they value? Because they don't value first basemen to the extent that maybe you used to once upon a time, because those guys are not getting paid. You brought up a couple of them that are great players. Paul Goldschmidt's another guy who's a former MVP. These guys didn't get $200 million contracts.
No, you're not wrong. And I think that's going to affect how much he gets paid. And I think that's probably the disconnect right now. Is that it's the same? It was the same conversation we were having about Saquon Barkley, right?
A little bit.
It's very similar.
A little bit.
And Saquon Barkley was hoping that because he was a leader, face of the franchise, there would be, you know, that would add to the eventual number that he would get. Like, he was more valuable to the Giants, and they were going to pay him, not because he was, you know, they weren't going to hold against him that he was a running back, because the running back market is trash. It was, okay, you're running back, we understand, we don't value that position, but because you're so good for us in the locker room, all those other things, jersey sales, that we'll give you more than, you know, we would normally give a running back. So I think the disconnect with Pete in the front office is, we don't really necessarily value your position. The way the game is going, with the amount of athleticism, right, all the stuff that, you know, it feels like this game is calling for now, you don't have. And Pete Alonso's saying to himself, well, I'm the face of the team. Look what Aaron Judge just got paid. I should be more, you know, I'm more Aaron Judge.
Is he the face of the team, or is Lindor the face of the team?
I think it's probably still, I mean, I think it's probably,
I mean, Lindor's still got the, you know, 10 more years left on that contract.
And that's the other thing, too, though. I mean, if you're Pete, you're looking around going, all these guys are getting signed. I mean,
But Lindor's a shortstop. Those guys, you know what I mean? That's what you consider more of a premium position.
Okay, but if you could go back, would you give Lindor that contract?
Of course not. I said it from day one. As soon as he signed it, I wouldn't.
Yeah, right. You bent over backwards to bring Nimmo back. You got McNeil done. And he's the one not done.
McNeil was only a four-year deal, though.
I don't care, but I'd feel a way about that. Like, why aren't you trying to get me done?
Maybe he's pricing himself out. That's what I'm saying. I don't think there's a Met fan that's trying to drive Pete Alonso to the airport. I know I'm not. But if he's going to sit there and ask for some outlandish amount of money that guys at his position who have achieved even more than him in baseball are not getting, then why should we make him as an example?
No. And that's why I say the entire time, the Olsen and Freddie Freeman contracts kill him, because they're better players. But I think that he is of the same mindset that Saquon Barkley is. Is that, yeah, this is what first basemen that have similar production are getting paid, but these guys are not the faces of their franchise. Matt Olson is not Ronald Acuna, right? Freddie Freeman is not the face of the Dodgers. Pete Alonso feels like he is the face of the Mets, and there should be a value to that. And they're telling, David Stearns is telling him, well, there's not. So we'll pay you what we think you deserve, and it's not going to be close to what Aaron Judge signed for.
In a weird way, David, it's almost like the quarterback discussion, right, with a new general manager that takes over. Like, David Stern's almost like, well, you know, I kind of inherited you. I didn't draft you. I didn't bring you in. And I see it as a certain value that I'm going to place on the position and the dollar figures as to what I feel comfortable paying you. And Steve Cohen has his back. You know, it's not like Steve is going to overstep David Stern's bounds and say, no, we're going to pay Pete. I'm going to give him a blank check. You know that that's not going
to
happen.
Well, it's almost identical to the Saquon Barkley stuff.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I mean, same thing. Fresh eyes. Joe Shane didn't draft Saquon Barkley. And he understands how important he is to the team, to the franchise. That's probably why they didn't trade him, because they're still trying to win games. And you heard the owner after the season, I told Joe Shane I was going to be pissed, especially if he went to a division rival. I'm sure that Steve Cohen would say the same thing, but because he's buying into David Stern's plan, Stearns is telling him, hey, listen, This is what we value. This is the price that we're willing to pay him. And if he wants more than that, as much as we like him, we're going to have to let him walk.
800-919-3776. More baseball conversation. We'll get to the Knicks as well. DNR, 98.7 ESPN. All right, you've heard Dave tell you all about Bath Fitter. They converted his kid's bathtub to a shower. It was customized just as he wanted, with only one expert installer. The process was so easy. No demo or mess, and Bath Fitter is a high-quality permanent solution with a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers. For a limited time, get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. So start designing your bath today at bathfitterdesign.com. There is only one Bath Fitter.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Opening day, Yanks in Houston a little bit later on this afternoon. What is that, a 4 o'clock start?
It is.
Little 4 p.m. action, Nestor and Framber Valdez, a couple lefties toeing the rubber today. Mets washed out. They're going to be playing tomorrow against the Milwaukee Brewers. Weather's supposed to be a lot better, at least. So if you are venturing out to Citi Field, at least you don't have to dodge raindrops or anything like that on Friday. Let us say hi, Rick, to Shooter in Stanford, who's up next here on 98.7. Shooter, good morning. How we doing?
Good morning, boys.
What's up, Shooter?
Dan, good to have you on the show. You're always a pleasure. Doing a great job, as always.
That's very nice of you. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem, man. I find your lack of faith disturbing. Yankees, man. As a Yankee fan, like, we're just in a – we're in this crapshoot, and we can't really get out. We got LeMahieu. We got Rizzo breaking down right before our very eyes. No way. I bet my house on it they're not making it through the season. We didn't – this was the killer for me. The J.D. Martinez pickup for the Mets, congrats, Rick. He's like your typical Steinbrenner pickup, right? Like a Raul Ibanez, Carpenter.
Why would you pick him up, Shooter? There's no reason the Yankees would pick up J.D. Martinez. They have
because he's a good guy to have off the bench.
No, they have Giancarlo Stanton. He's a DH.
Off the bench?
What are you talking about?
Off the bench?
Yeah, but guys, Stan's going to get hurt. I didn't even mention him, but he's also breaking down. I mean, I know he got in a better shape this year. He's trying his best, but
J.D. Martinez is not a two-player shooter.
You can have Soto DH if you want. If Stanton gets hurt.
Soto's going to have to play. He's going to have to play.
No, he's not.
He would have been a nice plan.
You got Trent Grisham, too. If you want, I mean, the way you can configure your outfield, Soto can DH if you want.
By the way, Trent Grisham,
happens to Stanton.
Fans are going to like Trent Grisham. That dude's got some pop. He could go out there and get it in the outfield. Trent Grisham, I think, is going to be a fan favorite for the Yankees.
Yeah, but doesn't J.D. Martinez have, like, that old-school Steinbrenner?
This is one of your worst calls. This is one of your worst calls, and I love you. This is one of your worst calls.
No, don't say that, Rick.
This is one of your worst calls.
If you're implying that J.D. Martinez would be a guy coming off the bench, I mean, J.D. Martinez is a dude you put in the middle of your batting order every day.
I mean, that'd be nice, but I see what you're saying now. But I thought he's more of a guy we'd bring in as insurance because we know people are breaking down and we can't do anything about their contracts. That's all I'm saying.
Nah,
I don't think it's that bad a call, Rick. Come on.
It's not a horrible call. I think
it's
Rick
bad.
Was a little. No, I mean, Rick, I think you're being
it's
a little
bad.
Harsh. And Shooter, thanks for checking.
RJ, how bad was that call? You're a Yankees fan. How bad was that call?
I don't.
don't go Shooter scale. Because Shooter has some bad.
For
bad
you
ones.
To just get on and say, hey, Shooter, that's one of your worst calls. That's a hell of a statement.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that
you're
far.
You're a little feisty there, man.
Well, only because.
Yankees should have signed J.D. Martinez?
Yeah, I disagree with that, but. When you talk about worst calls, I mean, let's not forget.
You blank mother. No, blank blank sucker mother. That's the line.
What is happening?
I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, but different, though. Different. And yeah, that wasn't a sports point call. That was like he was trying to do a little bit, and it went sideways.
Yeah, it's also gone sideways here.
Let me get out. We got out of the bathroom.
Yeah. And then there was this.
No one talks about this stuff. And it's
Shooter.
You can have pain. I've had some pain. I'm playing basketball. Like,
oh, my God! Just say what you want to say!
It's amazing.
You guys are right.
It's amazing.
I apologize. You're right.
It's amazing he still calls us.
Those are worse. Those are worse.
Is it, though? Is it amazing?
Yeah, that was right. That was tame compared to that.
I mean, come on.
That was tame.
If you're going pure content, yeah, that's a tough one. J.D. Martinez does not fit into this team.
No.
You know, one thing that happened yesterday, remember when our buddy Dan called and he brought up the fact that
the Yankees made a good move yesterday.
The Yankees had three catchers. And then lo and behold, Brian Cashman was listening to the show and he was like, geez, we got three catchers? Like last year, I guess he never heard the show where people were saying the fact that the Yankees didn't have a left fielder because that message never got across. But yesterday he heard.
But then he told us they didn't have a left fielder. Remember, he told us that.
That's right. He was okay with it. Well, no, after the fact.
No, not during the season. No, before the season, he said we don't have a left fielder.
And he said that before the season?
Yeah, they didn't address it. Yeah. Yes, and they didn't address it. They figured someone would step up and take left field, and then if they didn't, that they would address it at the deadline.
I thought that's what he said when he had that kind of come-to-Jesus press conference. What was it, like in August or September, nope. About how bad everything was? Like, well, we didn't have a left fielder. It's like, well, whose fault is that?
No, that was before last season he said they didn't have a left fielder. And then I think they just assumed that someone would step up.
What was your favorite?
What was your favorite Ben Rortvedt moment as a Yankee?
I don't really have a favorite
Ray,
moment.
RJ, favorite Ben Rortvedt moment.
Can't tell you that there's been many.
He did do a good job catching Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, he did. And he has tremendous biceps.
Will he get a video tribute when he comes back?
I think it should just be him working out.
Everybody gets a video tribute these days. So,
did you see, by the way, last night with the Knicks and the Raptors, speaking of guys who, you know, like the tributes and everything.
I saw.
Precious got a tribute back in Toronto, and I think OG did as well, even though OG didn't play.
They
but did you see what the organization gave them, Rick?
Excellent gift baskets.
Gift baskets at their locker with an assortment of berries.
That's terrific. Who doesn't like a gift basket?
Full of berries. And they were and these are fresh berries. This is not a Dave Rothenberg gift basket. This is fresh fruit. Good stuff.
This wasn't expired imported cakes.
As far as I know.
Okay.
Definitely not. And then there was some...
Precious repaid them by absolutely murdering somebody on the dunk at the end of the game.
Oh, to make it 142-101 or whatever it was. And there was also like some champagne and stuff in the basket, right?
I think Clyde was saying that Precious is a wine connoisseur or something.
I think he is one of those
guys.
I don't know
if that's how you pronounce it, but
whatever.
Okay.
You'd have a better understanding. You would have a better understanding of that stuff than me.
I do like wine. That is right.
Let's say hi to John in Norwalk. John has an interesting perspective here. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine. I'm calling about Shooter from Stanford.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I work with him at the school, and the guy, by far his worst phone call has got to be the vasectomy one. That thing got out of control real fast.
Yeah, that was probably Mount Rushmore of bad Shooter calls. You're right.
Yeah. You know what? That might not be bad Shooter calls. That might be the Mount Rushmore of all calls. But I'm a Red Sox fan, and I got to tell you, J.D. Martinez is a great guy to have on the team. I understand he doesn't fit in the Yankees lineup, but he is just a professional hitter. He works well with the young guys, and he's an asset. For any team, he's going to really bring the younger guys along.
Look, I don't
know with Devers in Boston.
I don't know what his asking price was, John. And look, I mean, I think all the Scott Boras clients maybe came in a little bit under as to what they thought they were going to get.
A little bit under?
I would say so, even in terms of years. But J.D. Martinez is a professional hitter. You know what I'm saying? He is a legit dude. You stick in the lineup, he'll give you power. Last five times there was an all-star game, Rick, he was an all-star. Last five. You know, that wasn't by accident. It's not like he was winning a fan vote.
I got to tell you too. And this is why, I was fully on board with this happening. I was hoping it would have happened sooner, but who cares? I mean, they finally got it done in a clubhouse that has. I mean, there's always been the sense that there's been a little lack of leadership to bring him in. Forget just being a professional hitter, just being a professional. Period. How well respected he is. Like he'll have a really positive impact on the Mets clubhouse too.
Oh, absolutely, and hopefully. The Mets are still in this thing late in the summer. It's where he sticks around because, you know, you talk about trading certain guys. I mean, look, if this is a disastrous first three and a half months for the Mets this year, the fact that JD's on a one-year deal only, he'll be a guy that's going to get flipped to help some contender and maybe get a prospect back. But you hope that's not the case, and you hope it's actually a guy worth holding on to when all is said and done.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
It's a magic moment. Sandlot. You a Sandlot guy there, Rico?
Yeah, I like the Sandlot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don LaGreca never saw the Sandlot.
Come on.
No, it's fact.
How's that possible?
I'd like to know that answer myself.
And this is one of your closest friends.
Yeah.
This might be the most disappointing thing I've ever heard about Don LaGreca.
You didn't know this?
I did not know this.
We had this conversation on the air, and he claims because when the movie came out, that wasn't in his wheelhouse where he was age-wise. When did that come out? Like 93, 94, somewhere around there?
In that ballpark.
So he was probably, what, you know, like mid-20s. You know, he was too good for the movie back then. And all his time, even though it's a sports movie, he never got around to watching it. And I told him, when I have kids, the kids would love it. But he still hasn't watched a movie, and it's almost like he... And the same thing, he's Mr. Hockey. He's never seen the Mighty Ducks.
That's a shame.
Well, never seen the Mighty Ducks.
I got a feeling, as Mr. Hockey, if he watched the Mighty Ducks, he might blow a gasket. Like, I feel like that movie would give him problems.
Really?
Well, as an adult, when you watch it, yeah, it upsets you.
What about you? You're a hockey guy.
Yeah, it upsets me now. I've seen it. I can't even tell you how many times I've seen it, because my kids love it, but it's just some of the...
You see things that just would never happen.
Drives me crazy. Whoever was editing that movie should be...
The continuity is bad. It's not great.
Well, I don't think they were trying to win Oscars. We're not talking about the horse whistler here.
No, it doesn't matter.
It's the Mighty Ducks.
Right, but if the guy's... I mean, if he's a left-handed shot, and then all of a sudden they cut to him, and now he's a right-handed shot, it's stupidity.
If the horse whistler's half as successful as the first Mighty Ducks, we'd be okay.
The horse whistler is going to blow the Mighty Ducks out of the water. Out of the water.
I was actually thinking about this yesterday, believe it or not. Which is crazy that I was thinking about the horse whistler yesterday.
So was I. Yeah.
Oh, my God, we're back.
Do you know what that means? If Rick's thinking about it, if I'm thinking about it, if this is distributed to the public, that means the public will be immersed in this project. It has to happen.
You're speaking for yourselves.
I told Ray last night when we were doing the Knicks game. I said, I've got so many ideas, plot lines, backstory, all roped into this movie and this project. I think it has to get off the ground somehow.
No, we have
to sell this to somebody.
All right, so listen to this. Mm-hmm. So did you mention that he was the horse whistler last night during the...
I forgot.
Because, right, I mean, God forbid you do something right.
No, dude, you know why? Because I had to sit there and watch the Knicks run up and down the floor for 2.5 hours against a CYO team.
Yeah, so did I.
And I had to wake up at 4 a.m, so I just wanted to get off the air.
Yeah, you embarrassed yourself. Okay, so here's what I thought about yesterday, which is crazy, is I think I might have been wrong.
Why?
I don't think Ray could be the actual hero in the story. I think there actually has to be another person that is the horse whistler, because what does Raymond do with the whistle? Raymond has the power of the whistle to save the abused horses, but he blows the whistle and then turns into the horse whistler? Because the whistle's not doing anything.
That's like Thor. No, but it's like Thor's axe.
I feel like I was saying this the
Thor's
entire
hammer,
time.
Thor's hammer, not Thor's axe.
No, but Thor's hammer, I mean, it's a weapon. What does the whistle doesn't do anything? It has no power.
We don't know that. It could have power.
No, the power is to call on the horse whistler, the man who saves the actual horses.
Yeah, but how do you know it doesn't have, like, Lord of the Rings type power from the ring and the stuff that it enables you to do? It could have that. Remember, we're creating this thing. We're starting it up from scratch. The whistle could be anything it wants to be, or we want it to be.
No, the whistle would have to do something to, like, whoever's abusing the horses, like, it ears.
But there has to be also,
it's
like,
so debilitating.
I was thinking about this too. Like, there has to be some sort of backstory and a connection with the protagonist, in this case Ray, with horses. Okay, because how does he become the horse whistler? It can't just be like the salamander whistler. Like, there has to be some attachment to the animal. So in the backstory,
no,
as he was this migrant vagabond who was just like wandering around the country, like looking for, you know, some sort of stability in his life, he had a kinship to horses. Maybe he was riding a horse all throughout the country.
No, because we want everyone involved in the story. What happens is Raymond is still Raymond. Okay, Raymond stumbles across this whistle. Okay. Not realizing the power of said whistle. And then once he blows the whistle, that's where RJ comes in. Former jockey, now destitute. Right? He is the one. He is the one.
Former jockey?
He is the one.
No, wait a second.
That
how
is the horse whistler.
How? No, he can't be. How is
too
he destitute?
Too big to be a former jockey, first of all.
Yeah, jockeys are like 4'6".
Right, but we're talking about who would ride the horse. Who on the show is capable of riding the horse? RJ is perfect size for horse riding.
Ray's the horse whistler.
No, but the whistle now activates RJ.
It's turning this into Seabiscuit now.
No, I'm not turning it into Seabiscuit. Now RJ comes out of, then you blow the whistle, then RJ now.
Now you want to say that he has like a sidekick, almost like a Robin to the Batman?
Where's Shooter when you need him? Shooter, call back.
You want some more JD Martinez talk? Is that what you're looking for?
Hey, you know what? If we had to size it up, I'd think about it.
It's probably better.
I'd think about it.
You know, he shows up and he goes on this little sort of riding expedition with other, like, people on horse. I don't know if it's like a polo match, because that's too highbrow. But I could see a scenario where, you know, he impresses on a horse, and then, like, the other people riding horses turn around and they say, hey, cowboy, how long you been riding horses? And then the horse whistler looks at them.
But he wouldn't ride a horse, though.
He has to have some connection to the animal. Yes,
he
does.
He doesn't believe that people should ride horses. It's abusive to the horse.
No, you can ride a horse.
No,
just don't mistreat the horse.
I could ride you. Would you like it?
I mean, this conversation's getting a little graphic.
No, but I could ride you. Do you think horses like when people jump on their back and ride
them? I've never talked to a horse before. They've never
said. Raymond does. Raymond does.
No, it's not the horse whisperer. It's the whistler.
Raymond frees Mr. Ed. That's the first one. Gone. Mr. Ed, you're free. No longer an actor. Putting peanut butter under your lips and everything else. Mistreated. He's out. Raymond doesn't believe in riding horses.
So how does the horse whistler then get from point A to point B? What's his thing as a superhero?
He doesn't. It's not a thing.
A skateboard. It doesn't matter how
he's not
gets
riding
there.
A skateboard. How are you riding a skateboard and you have a horse whistle and then all of a sudden you're affecting horses somehow? You can't have a skateboard.
That's why you need a superhero is what I'm telling you, you jackass. You need somebody, the whistle
he's
engages.
He's the superhero.
No, he's not. He finds the whistle. He finds the whistle that all of a sudden brings the superhero to life.
Yeah, him!
No, because there's got no... That whistle's not going to do nothing. All it does is it gets the person with the superpowers engaged.
What I don't understand, like, here's where
I now know how you felt 20 minutes ago, Rick, because you totally ignored everything that I said yesterday, and you brought it right on back here and claiming it as your own point.
See, we can't have an alter ego. It can't be like a Clark Kent situation. Like yesterday we were saying, you know, if it's like a Jason Momoa type guy who's still like, you know, producing Knicks and Rangers games, and he's up there in the booth sitting between, you know, Dave Maloney and Don and Kenny or whoever's up there, and he's wearing this like whistle around his neck, and then all of a sudden he's going out there and fighting crime and protecting horses and riding horses and all this stuff. I don't think that you could be both. You're not conspicuous enough.
No, but the whistle doesn't give me... Okay, this is a ridiculous conversation. Raymond, I wasn't saying it was my own point. You actually made me think that you're right. I was wrong. You were right. The whistle doesn't give you any superpowers. The whistle, that gets the person with said superpowers to help you.
Horse Karen is probably a better description at that point.
That's probably... Yeah, that guy could be a good working title. That you just walk up and start blowing the whistle. And the guy's like, what are you going to do with that whistle? Nothing. Just going to blow it. And that's all that would happen. And then you'd probably get beat up, and that would be the end of the movie.
So, but he has to have power. Otherwise, what are we doing?
No, he stumbles across the whistle that when you blow it, it brings the actual superhero to life. And they become friends, and they fight horse crime together. That's what it is.
So essentially what you're saying is that the horse whistler himself is not any type of a hero, in your mind. Which I disagree with wholeheartedly.
Essentially, no, he's a hero, but with no powers.
He's essentially a booking agent, is what he is.
Right.
He's a booking agent.
Yep.
Is that he blows this whistle, and then all of a sudden, some guy's going to come out of nowhere and save the day, whether it's a disgraced former jockey who lost his family, you know, living out of a cardboard box, and he's the one who has an affinity to horses in said metropolis.
Or it's a super horse. That we didn't even know
now,
about.
Now, is this going to be a real horse, or are we going to need like CGI and stuff
CGI
like that?
CGI horse. We're going to get a real horse to do
so
this.
So it's going to be like a monster horse, the biggest horse you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, like a flying Clydesdale that all of a sudden now helps him fight crime and frees the horses. I'm telling you.
Does the horse talk?
Only to Raymond. Only
what type,
Raymond.
What does the horse sound like? What's the accent? What is it? What is it?
I would just say it's probably like a...
Mr. Raymond.
No.
Tough, deep, like deep voice. I'm not an accent guy, but it just a tough.
Like, what was that dude who was in Armageddon, Ray? Like, he's no longer with us, sadly. The big guy, Michael Clark Duncan. Remember
That's
him, the actor?
Yes, him.
Now, something like that would be nice. Well, listen, I don't think it's a terrible idea. I think the conversation's a little crazy right now, but I think.
Rick, it's called creativity.
Right, I think you got plenty. Listen, I mean,
that's what it is.
Is that what you call it?
That's you failed miserably last night. Maybe you brainstorm today and come up with some ideas. Really hash this thing out.
I got another shot on Friday, by the way, to redeem myself as far as the credits are concerned.
You won't remember.
Well, you got to remind me. You're texting me all this other crap. I'm sitting there trying to do the game last night, and I'm getting texts from you left and right. How about you text me something useful?
You promised me. I didn't realize that. Okay, sorry. I'll babysit you. My fault.
You know, remind me that stuff.
All right, on Friday. Let me put it in my calendar. Hold on. Let me put it in my calendar. Remind Dan to call Raymond the Horse Whistler. Done. Okay. It's in there.
All right. Some people actually are also creative, all right, and they got some ideas here.
We talk Mets, Yankees, and Knicks. No phone calls. We mentioned the Horse Whistler.
No, we had phone calls. Remember, Shooter had a phone call.
Not like this.
Well, again, this is what moves the needle. Think about this. Like I said, if this was ever like in a movie theater on the big screen, people would be flocking to come see it. They're calling to talk about it, and it's not even a real thing yet. That's how ideas happen.
You could even turn this into like a kid's thing. We start making this animated.
The Teenage Horse Whistler?
Yeah, this is like Paw Patrol-ish.
No, they could do the animation thing off of the movie.
That's what I'm saying. Make it a cartoon.
Give me the real serious like Oscar-winning type movie stuff, and then you can make the cartoon series out of it.
Okay. All right, take some of these phone calls, would you please?
Chris in San Francisco up next. Christopher, good morning. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Love the show.
Chris is up early.
My idea is... You guys have Raymond like Mush, the degenerate gambler on the ponies, and his luck changes when he finds the whistle.
So it's like Biff finding the sports almanac in Back to the Future. Ray finds the whistle, and all of a sudden he figures out how to bet on horses.
On horses.
Something along those lines, but then he ends up saving them like the Central Park horses.
Chris, I you know, it's got some potential. Or maybe like when you find out, like in the middle of the movie, right? When you find out a little bit more about the character's backstory and his origin history, you realize that he just had an addiction to the track and he was constantly there. And then he lost all his money gambling it away on horses, and he lost his family, and he's trying to reconnect with his kids and all this other stuff. And then he, you know, goes and visits the kids every so often. The ex-wife wants nothing to do with him. And then one of the young kids, you know, sees that whistle around his neck, and he's like, "Daddy, what's that whistle around your neck?" Something like that.
Yeah, but why, if he just lost his entire, I mean, if he lost all his money and his family because he was a degenerate gambler on horses, why would he then try to save the horses? He wouldn't. He'd be mad at the horses.
Well, that's what, look, if we're sitting in a meeting right now writing a script and somebody brings up the idea about him being a degenerate gambler, and he had no luck at the track. I mean, this is one of the ideas that either gets written down or just tossed into the trash.
No, I think it would have to be he finds he's down on his luck, has no money left, is about to lose his family, and then he finds this whistle, blows it, and for now he has the power to speak to the horses, and one of the horses that runs at the track tells him, "Hey, I'm going to bet all your money on me, I'll win the race, but in return, you have to now spend your life saving horses." Horse wins, now he becomes the vigilante against all horse abuse.
Greg on the Turnpike is up next here. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Guys, I got it here. So he finds the whistle, much like a Green Lantern finding the ring. He blows it. He becomes half man, half horse. A werehorse, if you will.
Oh.
And then he fights in crusades.
Which half is the horse? Justice. Is he lower half horse or upper half horse?
Now, that would be scary to people, I think.
The lower half horse?
So I'd be Alex Rodriguez. I'd be Alex Rodriguez is what you're telling me. Be the centaur.
Yes. He'll be galloping in. He can kick with the legs, bite, and get horse justice. Fight all the delivery cab drivers. You know, it'll be profound. I would watch it.
Greg, thank you for the call.
Did he say fight the livery cab drivers?
Yep. That's exactly
most of them don't know what the hell they're doing behind the wheel anyways, Ray.
That's fair.
So we need to get on the same page as far as, do we want this to be like a crime fighter movie? Do we want it to be like a serious drama with an emotional arc to it? Or do we want it just to be like some, you know, popcorn comic book type thing?
I think the intent of the whistle wasn't to fight crime. It was to fight crime against horses, though. So, I mean, he's not going to just go fight just regular crime. He's going to go
could.
Fight. Well, yeah, but now we're getting crazy now.
But you could. All right, it's in development. We're still tossing some ideas around. We'll get to the bottom of it one day. Don't worry.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.